Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Youpreneur Podcast. Before we get going with this episode of the show, however, I've got a very special announcement for you. This is your personal invitation to join me, my team, some very, very close influential friends of mine, and a host of other smart entrepreneurs at the inaugural Long Haul Leader Summit, which is taking place in the historic heart of Cambridge, England, on November the 16th and the 17th of 2024. You're going to be able to learn from the best in the business. You're going to be able to network with like-minded leaders and other entrepreneurs just like you that are on a similar journey to yourself. We've got some incredible masterminds planned. Lots of great strategies will be shared. And by the time we're all done together, you're going to walk away with a solid plan of action that you can follow through for the entirety of 2025. But here's the thing though, we've only got 100 exclusive spots available. So this is your chance to be part of an intimate group focused on sustainable success, avoiding burnout, and ultimately making a whole bunch of money in the process. So go ahead right now and visit longhaulleader.com. There's links in the show notes as well to secure your ticket to make sure that we're all hanging out with each other in November this year. That's longhaulleader.com. I'll see you there. Right, let's get on with the episode. This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind community, a place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author,
Chris Ducker.
Hey, what's up there, everybody, and welcome to Youpreneur FM, episode number 141. It's a real pleasure to have you with me. That was a nice roll of the tongue, wasn't it? Sincerely, a great pleasure to have you inserting me into your eardrums. I often say that, and I do very much appreciate it and mean it every time I do. Great show plan for you today. We are going a little kind of old school, a little old school here, guys, today with my very special guest and Youpreneur member, Janet Murray. Decades of experience under her belt in the PR industry back in the UK, written for every major newspaper and magazine that you can think of, and now helps entrepreneurs get the kind of PR that they want, not just in, you know, newspapers and magazines, but also radio, TV, online, the whole kit and caboodle. She's amazing. We're going to go back to basics, a little traditional, a little old school, talking about how business owners can really get that more traditional based PR that we're all chasing down so much nowadays. And man, just a wealth of knowledge, just a fantastic wealth of knowledge. Now, I just wrapped up one of our live mastermind calls for our Youpreneur members. We do them twice a month, it never ceases to amaze me what happens when you get a bunch of entrepreneurs together, like-minded people with very common goals and aspirations when it comes to building their businesses. When people like that come together, great things happen. It just blew me away, man. I was like, you know, we do these calls twice a month, like I said, where I sit in, I answer questions, I give feedback, and then we bring people on live to the call as well, had like a virtual mastermind. And it's just an incredible time where we all get to be able to hang out and really get to know each other and genuinely give each other the support and the accountability that we all need. So if that's the kind of thing that turns you on and gets you thinking about really taking your business to the next level going into 2016, I'd love for you to go over to youpreneur.com and check it all out. Plus, as an added bonus, for anyone that signs up for annual membership, that's annual membership, throughout the month of December, they're going to be getting a free copy of my best-selling book, Virtual Freedom, on either a paperback or a Kindle version, whatever tickles your fancy. So that's youpreneur.com,
annual membership. Not only do you get a free limited edition Youpreneur member only t-shirt with that offer, you also get all of the discounts that we put in place for all of our live events throughout the course of the year. And if you sign up in December, like I said, a free copy of Virtual Freedom. Now, onto my chat with Janet. I know you're going to enjoy this. Get a notepad ready because the chances are you're going to bloody need it. Here we go. So, Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am extremely excited to have you here. A couple of reasons why. For you guys tuning in, first and foremost, I just met Janet for the first time in person on my recent trip to the UK. And we hit it off like a house on fire straight out of the gate. So that's the first reason. Second reason is that this topic of PR and press coverage and all that sort of stuff for your business or your brand is hot business right now. I mean, it's a real hot topic. A lot of people are talking about it. We actually discussed PR a little bit with Peter Shankman back in episode 106. But Peter, very kind of old school sort of sales type mentality to getting press coverage, particularly within television and cable and that kind of thing. But Janet, with you, you have a little bit more of a traditional press background. So we're talking newspapers and magazines and obviously TV as well. So that was the second reason why, because I just love this topic. But then thirdly, because you are a Youpreneur member. And this is something that I want to do. I want to bring more Youpreneur members onto the show to actually share their wisdom and their expertise into the future as well. So a formal welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I feel very British by saying thank you very much for having me. You're used to that, aren't you? And also, being British, I also at this point need to mention the weather as well and just tell you how cold it is here, because it really is cold here.
Yeah.
Because that's what we Brits like to do, don't we? We like to, that's our sort of conversation starter, isn't it?
Yes. We talk about the weather, we talk about, and we like to moan. I often say that if there was an Olympic, event for moaning, we would catch gold every single 4 years without a doubt. We love a good moan, but there you go. All right, so we're going to deep dive into this, though. I'm really looking forward to getting stuck in on this one. But for those tuning in that maybe haven't discovered you over, obviously, at your website, janetmurray.co.uk, tell us a little bit about your background. Just give us a 2-3 minute pitch and bring us up to speed with where you are.
Okay, so for the last 15 years or so, I've been writing for national newspapers in the UK. I write these days primarily for The Guardian, but I've also written for The Telegraph, The Times, The Huffington Post, for pretty much every newspaper you can think of here, but also lots of consumer magazines and industry magazines. And I've been working as a freelance journalist. And basically where my business came about, because I've got this media consultancy business as well, is I noticed about 5 years into my career as a freelance journalist, where basically you have to pitch ideas to editors and you get pitched by PR people, I just noticed how awful PR people were at pitching. And obviously, I need to preface this by saying, because Brits were very polite as well, I need to preface this by saying that, of course, there are some brilliant PR people out there that I have worked with, but there was just some terrible ones. And I would get these pictures in my inbox and I would just think to myself, what is going on here? You know, it was like they just had no idea what a story was, no idea how to pitch it, no idea how to kind of relate to journalists and give them what they needed. So what I started doing, I think I've already had, always had a bit of an entrepreneurial mindset. So what I started doing for about 5 years in was I thought, well, if these people don't know how to pitch to journalists, then I'm going to teach them how to do it. So I started running courses. There were live courses and workshops that people came to, and that did very, very well. And then gradually that's just kind of morphed into bigger events. So I do big conference events in the UK called What Journalists Want, where I get all the journalists from a key sector to come along and talk about what they're looking for. And I've just very much always been into this idea of journalists are kind of, there is a bit of a tension between journalists and PR or people, you know, or essentially anybody who pitches to a journalist. There's this kind of tension. And so what I've always been into is kind of like, well, we can, if we can just kind of talk to each other a bit more, if we can, you know, if journalists understand the people pitching to them, and the people pitching to journalists kind of understand a little bit more about journalists' work, then maybe we're all going to be happier and we're all going to be able to do this better. So in the last few years, I've got really into kind of the online marketing space, and I've started running online programs as well. And so I've got this program at the moment. I've got a group coaching program called Soulful PR. And I've also got, it's launching next week, actually. So I'm very busy writing all the putting all the copies, sales copy together for that at the moment. for an introductory course for people who are just starting it, entrepreneurs who want to start getting media coverage. So that's absolutely. I just saw that there was something out there that people weren't doing right. And I thought, well, I think I can actually teach them to do this better. So that's what I did. And I turned it into a business. And so now I combine working as a journalist. I still work as a journalist and an editor. And I've worked quite extensively as an editor, particularly on The Guardian. But I also combine this with running this media consultancy business. I'm just kind of like, I just love it. I just get so excited about helping people to get press coverage because, you know, it's just a really great feeling, isn't it? When you get covered in magazines or newspapers or radio, TV, it's a really great feeling. It's a great boost for you.
Absolutely.
Your business. Love it. So yeah.
And you know, regardless what industry you're in, what sector you're serving, who you're selling, whatever it is that you're selling, to get any kind of press, you know, except for really, really, really bad press. Maybe we can talk about the whole adage of no. What is it people used to say? No press is bad press or something? You know,
no publicity is bad publicity.
I disagree on that. I don't know how you feel about that, but I disagree a little bit on it. But the fact is, what you've done here in a nutshell is you've seen a hole in the market, you've seen a problem that people are experiencing, and you've decided to create not one, but two, or maybe even three different solutions to those problems at varying degrees and intimacies. And you make a business out of it. There's nothing wrong with that. You're doing a good job.
Exactly, yeah. So tapping into people's pain points,
that's what it's all about. So okay, let's get into the meat of this then, right? So let's say we're a small business, and we should also say right out of the gate, because Janet and I were talking about this before we hit the record button here, even though Janet's from England and she's based in England and the majority of her career is in England, she made it very clear to me, and maybe you can caveat on this a little bit, Janet, that these tips and tactics and techniques that you're going to share today, they can be used no matter where you are in the world. Am I right?
Exactly, yeah. And I do, through my coaching programs, I'm increasingly working with people from all around the world and helping them to get coverage in titles in their countries. I've got somebody at the moment in Denmark. I've worked with somebody in Hong Kong.
Excellent.
I've got someone else who's interested in working with me and from Australia. So basically, yeah, the process that you go through to get a story in a newspaper or on the radio or TV in the UK is exactly the same thing as you would do anywhere else. So what I can do, actually, I could walk you through, if somebody is a business owner or an entrepreneur and they're thinking about trying PR for the first time, I can sort of talk you through the kind of things they might think about. Would that be helpful?
Yes, let's do it. I mean, I'm assuming there must be a bit of a process involved here, and you know I do like a good process. So why don't you break things down for us one by one?
Yes, what I do when somebody first comes to me and says, like, I'm interested in getting some PR for my business, and maybe they've tried it before, maybe they've tried to approach journalists, they haven't had a reply, or they've just got no's. That's quite a common thing that I hear, and usually that's because they haven't been going about it the right way. So the first thing I would get people to think about is, firstly, well, what's your objective in this? What are you trying to achieve? Because it's all very well getting nice coverage in the Times or in a glossy magazine like Psychology's or on Forbes or whatever it might be, but actually, does that drive your business forward in any way? It can be a great ego boost, but if it's not actually driving your business forward, then it's kind of, you know, time and money that can potentially be wasted.
Yeah.
So the first thing I get people to do is get really clear on what their objective is. And what I find is often it does come back to money, and that's perfectly fine. Most people want to attract more clients. It might be that they want to try and attract a book deal, or they want to get more high profile speaking gigs. I've had people who've come to me, you know, they want to get TED Talks, that kind of thing. And they recognize that by raising their profile and be able to say, put on their website, as seen in the Huffington Post, as seen in the New York Times, as seen in Forbes or whatever, Business Insider, that's going to boost their credibility, but it also is probably going to be money in the bank for them. So I think the more clear people get, what is it that you're trying to do? Then your next step is you think, okay, so who is it I want to get in front of? So again, you might think to yourself, oh, I'd love to be in the New York Times, or I'd love to be in the Sydney Morning Herald or whatever it might be. But actually, are the people you want to get in front of, do they read that newspaper, or do they listen to that radio show that you're talking about? So it's about being really clear about who is it that you want to reach. And again, it often comes back to money. People are looking for particular kinds of clients often. So I get people to think really carefully about that. Then your next step is to say, okay, well, I've decided who I want to get in front of. What do they read, watch, and listen to? Now, often people get a bit stuck on that bit because they say, oh, God, well, I don't know. And I say, well, go and ask them. If you don't know, then find five or 10 people that you think fit your fit the criteria of the kind of people that you want to reach, and just maybe go and ask them, what do you read, watch and listen to? And then you'll get your idea of where you should be targeting. And the thing is, I think you have to take the ego out of it, because it's all very well to tell your mom that you've been in the Huffington Post or that you've been in the New York Times, but actually, if that doesn't actually get you in front of the people you want to sell to, or the people you want to, you know, say, for example, you want to get a book deal and you want to attract book publishers, then there's no point in doing that.
So kind of just get over yourself in general look at why you're doing it ultimately,
and,
right?
Yeah, and actually think about it in kind of quite a business-like way as well. So then you know, you found out who it is you want to get in front of, what they read, watch and listen to. And then this is the step that people often miss out. So they go, okay, well, I've decided that the people I want to reach, they read Business Insider or they read, you know, ITV or they watch ITV or BBC or something like that. And they get kind of quite fixated. They can get quite kind of fixated on that. The thing is that you really need to understand those publications. You really need to kind of understand what kind of content they run, what kinds of articles they run, what kind of things they've run before. And that's where the hard work comes in. That's when the bit where you really need to sit down with that newspaper, or you need to sit down and listen to that radio show or that TV show and really, really kind of take it apart and say, okay, what kind of stuff do they do? And instead of saying, this is my story, this is the story I want to tell, it's almost like you turn it on its head and you say, okay, this is the kind of stuff that they do. What can I do that fits in with that? How can I give them what they need? And actually, that's quite a different... it's quite a different approach. Lots of people come to me in the first place. They want to get PR and it's all about me and what I want. But actually, the more you can think about giving journalists what they want, all journalists care about, they don't actually care about your business, to be honest. They, in the nicest possible way, they really don't care. What they're interested in is really great content for their audience. And that is the bottom line. So that's what you've got to do. You've got to really try and understand those publications and programs so that you can go to them and say, look, here's something I think your audience would find really, really useful. So that's the bit that... is the bit that people often miss out, because it does take a little, not loads of time, but it takes a little bit of time to do that. And then once you've kind of worked out, you know, where it is you want to be, what kind of content they want, then it's a case of coming up with some really great content ideas for them and really, really kind of putting some effort into putting together a really great pitch. So that's the kind of basics that I would get people to think about. And that's even before they've even sent off a pitch to a journalist. So does that kind of give you the idea of
the kind of... Sure does. I love it. Yeah, yeah. And what I like about this is that it's actually pretty simple. You know what I mean? It's not rocket science, right? I think people tend to, we do. I mean, as entrepreneurs, we like to think that we are the big problem solvers that everybody believes we are. And deep down we are, I get it. But sometimes we're so close to something that we overcomplicate it anyway, way more than we actually should. I love the fact that that was so simple. And I mean, simplicity is the mother of success as far as I'm concerned. Okay, keep going. I'm loving this. This is great.
Okay, so once you've done that, you're next, you've decided who you want to target and what you want to target them with. So the next thing, the bit that often people get a bit kind of nervous about is, okay, well, how do I get hold of these journalists? And people have these ideas that journalists are these kind of big, scary people who sit in offices in London or New York or Sydney, and they're kind of these big, scary people. And actually, journalists can be a bit grumpy. I'm not a grumpy journalist, I have to say that, when they're just, I'm always very pleasant to people, but I know a lot of people who aren't. And you know, if you've ever rung up a news desk to run a story past them, I mean, I've had it happen to me, actually. You ring up and they just go, nope, not of interest, and they just slam the phone down on you. So if you've had a few experiences like that, it can be quite off-putting. But I have to say that journalists who operate like that, they are sort of few and far between. Generally, most people are okay. They're looking for great content. So that's the bit that people get a little bit nervous about, because they think, well, what do I actually do? Do I ring up? Do I email? Do I write a press release? And there's various ways that you can go about it. The one thing I would say is that these days, most people, they use email. So an email, being able to write an email pitch is probably the biggest skill that you need. Press releases, I've actually got a free course on my website. This is quite an interesting story, but I've got a free course on my website, a free 5-day how to write a press release course. And the reason that I do that is because when people come to me and they ask me about PR, that's almost like an entry point for them. They know about press releases. And so I've got this kind of free course, and then people do that, and then they might come on and do a little bit more work with me. But actually, I don't think you need to know how to write a press release. If you've got a great idea, you can actually just send along a couple of paragraphs on an email. And as long as you go about it in the right way, no journalist is ever going to say to you, why haven't you written a press release? But that's one of the sort of misconceptions. And the irony being that obviously I've got this free course on my website, but that's because I think it's like an entry point. People, if they're thinking about doing PR, they've heard of press releases.
Yeah.
and it's something that they can always grab onto, and it's almost like a security blanket. But actually, if you've got a great idea, there's no reason why you can't just kind of fire off an email, find out the name of the person that you that edits the particular section or the page that you want to get coverage in, and just get in there and do it. And I say that to people. A lot of it is about confidence, because people sort of sometimes imagine that newspapers, magazines and TV production houses, they're these kind of big sort of scary places that you can only contact if you've worked in the media or you know how it works, or
right.
or they hire PR companies at great expense to do this for them. But, you know, if you've got a great idea, just pick up the phone or send an email.
And let's not beat around the bush here. I mean, y'all need news, right? Like, you need stories to publish. You're always looking for, you know, the next scoops, so to speak, right? So I love that. Okay.
I've been sat there on a Friday afternoon when I've been working as an editor. You've got a gap in the page and you are desperate. And if somebody rings up with a great idea, you could almost hug them or send them flowers.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I think people forget that, is that journalists, they need great content. You know, they need the right content, but they do need content. So you're not a pest. If you send an email to a journalist with an idea, if you ring up, you are not a pest. You are potentially providing a solution to a problem. And I think that's a really important sort of mindset issue. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. That's a great way to look at it, is the fact that, you know, they have a problem and maybe, just maybe, you're the solution to that problem.
Yeah.
And that in itself will take the edge, I think, off of getting in touch with people in the first place, right? And I love the idea that you have the press release course up there on the site as a free opt-in. And I think this is actually, whether you actually genuinely end up looking for PR in this fashion or not, I think it's a solid idea for every entrepreneur to do something like that, because it will help them become a better copywriter anyway.
Yeah.
I often say that, you know, nobody will ever sell your business in terms of words better than you. You know it better than anybody ever will do, plain and simple. So I think it's a good idea for people to learn how to write about their business and their values and their missions, as well as just talk about it, right? Okay, good stuff. So keep going.
Yeah, on that point, actually, sorry, I keep apologizing, very British of me to interrupt.
You're apologizing a lot. And I've got out of apologizing. I don't, maybe it's because I've not lived in London for so long now.
Yeah.
I just don't apologize for anything anymore.
Yeah, it's we do like poor. To apologize, don't we?
I'm terribly sorry. God, I'm so sorry. I'm terribly sorry. How rude of me. You're so rude of me.
Apologize, right. You haven't done it. So, yes, sorry for interrupting you.
Before you know what's happening, you'll be apologizing for apologizing too much. Go on, carry on.
No, that's totally how it works. So the thing about press releases as well, the thing about, I always say to small business owners, they come to me and they say things like, oh, well, I want to do PR, but I want to wait until I can afford to hire a PR company. I want to wait until I've got more money. And I would actually say, well, first off, there's some shockingly bad PR companies out there. And actually, you may well be able to do a better job of it yourself. And I know that from experience. There's some great ones too, but there's some bad ones.
Sure.
But also, when I've worked as an editor, or when I am working as an editor, I'm doing a couple of days at The Guardian next week, as it happens, working as an editor. When I pick up the phone and there's a business owner at the end of it, I just so much more want to talk to them than someone from a PR company. The minute somebody says, hi, it's Claire from so-and-so PR, you're immediately a bit kind of like, oh, they're probably not going to be able to answer all my questions. They're probably going to have to go back. And they don't know their business or love their business. Mm. But the brilliant thing about when a business owner or an entrepreneur phones you up with an idea or they send you an email, you can almost like kind of feel that passion coming through the email.
Yeah.
And I always say to people, they will get to a point in your business, if you're growing, that it's too much to handle, you know, writing press releases and pitching, it might be too much. But if you've done it yourself in the first place, if you've written some press releases, if you've written some pitches, if you know what it's like to talk to a journalist, not only is that kind of good because journalists like it, but also then when you do come to hire a PR company, you'll know what's good and what's bad, and you'll be able to tell if somebody's doing a good job for you, then you'll know that. But if somebody's doing a poor job for you, I mean, something that really gets my goat is that I see a lot of small business owners being almost taken for a ride by they pay PR companies a hell of a lot of money. They just write press releases and send them out to people, and, you know, crickets, they get absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, surely most of those press releases have got to be templated in some way, shape or form. I mean, they've got to be. Like, I remember back in the day where I first started getting active online 5 or 6 years ago, we had you know, the whole SEO thing was do press releases. They get listed with Google quickly and blah. And I even remember looking at them myself as a potential way of being able to get, you know, additional traffic, particularly to my business sites, maybe not so much my blog or anything, but I was amazed at something like $125 for a press release, you know, one press release. And I was like, are you high like right now? Like, this is an insane amount of money to charge somebody for something that quite obviously has got to be templated in some way, shape or form. What do you think about that?
I just think it's a waste of time and a waste of money. I would always advise a business owner, if you want to get people along to your site and you want to get people to, you know, engage with you from an SEO point of view, then start a blog and start sharing some useful information with people on your blog. That's what I've done. I've started a blog which is all about helping people to get press coverage, and I share loads of free tips and advice, and I've also written loads of stuff like that for The Guardian and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that sends traffic back to my site, and that's far more effective than paying somebody to write a press release that is probably not very useful to anybody and doesn't really tell anybody anything interesting. It's just, you may as well just kind of flush your money down the loo, really.
Absolutely. But not only that, I mean, when you visit your site, it's plain to see that you know what you're talking about, that you've got experience in the field, and that you are there to genuinely help people. I mean, sure, you're going to end up monetizing your site in some way, shape, or form. You already are. But I mean, like, you know, it's not the focus of you getting people there, and it's clear that that's not the focus to get people there. But obviously, as an offshoot to that, it's nice to be able to make. It's not a bad thing to make money, Janet. Remember that.
No, it's a good thing to make money. And one of the other things is that, I mean, if I'm advising small business owners how to get PR, one of the things, and I've done it myself, is you can teach people. So you can approach. So for example, for The Guardian, I've written a whole series of articles for them on how to get press coverage. And my article that I've written for The Guardian about how to write press releases, ironically, is always in their Small Business Network's top five. It sends loads of people to my website. And in actual fact, I had a lady sitting in front of me. I was running in. I run these soulful PR sessions in London once a month, where I get a journalist from a national or big publication to come along and talk to quite an exclusive group of people about what they're looking for. Last month I had somebody from the Huffington Post, and I had a lady sat right in front of me, and she said to me, "I'm here because I read your article in The Guardian about how to write a press release."
Lovely.
And I was like, this is PR in action, because she'd read my piece, and then she'd gone to my website, she'd found out a little bit more about me. And there was another lady who'd read something else that I'd written about something else, which just wasn't kind of about my business, but was kind of related to my business. And she said the same, "I'm here because I read the article you wrote in The Guardian, and then went and had a look at your website, and now I'm here." And that's kind of, you know, that's the proof in the pudding. That is PR in action. So I often say to small business owners, one of the ways that you can get great press coverage is obviously to write some kind of really useful content in your field, as I have done, about how to get press coverage and how to write press releases, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
And get people back to your website that way, instead of constantly kind of haranguing journalists to write about my business. And funnily enough, that leads me to another point. I feel like I'm going off on a sort of tangent here. But
tangents are fine. you would be amazed how much gold is at the end of tangents.
Yes.
I mean, so don't worry about tangents. Keep going. We're fine.
But one of the things I do at the moment, I run a group coaching program called the Soulful PR Group Coaching Program. And one of the things I really advise people to do is basically, I've written a blog post about this, is stop talking about your business. Now, that probably sounds a bit counterintuitive. If you want to get PR, stop talking about your business. But here's the thing, as I said at the beginning, journalists are not interested in your business. They don't care about it. They're not there to promote your business. They're just there to provide really great content for their audience. So one of the things I encourage my students to do is to look around the edges of their business for PR opportunities. So I'll give you some examples of things that I've done. So for example, you look at, you know, instead of going to journalists and say, "Please write about our business, about what I do," because they're generally not interested in doing that kind of thing, and they're not interested, and there's only so much you can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some really good coverage, for example, about the fact that I work from what's been dubbed in the UK as a she shed in the bottom of my garden. So I've got one of these kind of fancy sheds. I've got it all done out, like it looks like something from Homes and Gardens magazine.
And I
it's
love
very
it.
Special. Swish, it's called, and it's been dubbed a she shed, or the shed quarters, we sometimes call it. I've been featured in Metro, which is one of the UK's sort of, you know, big London newspapers.
Yes, they give it away for free on all the trains and everything, right? Yeah.
Perfect. So I was featured in there with a picture of me outside my she shed talking about how I work in a shed. Basically.
How good is that?
and how it's a great new trend. I can't tell you how many texts, how many emails, how many tweets I had from people saying, I've just seen you in the metro. Like people who, you know, sort of colleagues, you know, people potentially might work with me, and people who just got in touch kind of, you know, completely out of the blue to say, I saw your piece about you working in the shed. Now, that piece of coverage, it wasn't about my business specifically. It was about working in a shoe shed. However, there's two really juicy quotes in that article where I'm saying things like, do you know, I love working in here because it just really kind of like, you know, it's just kind of relaxed and informal and corporate. And I'm not a particularly corporate kind of person. I use it to run training courses here. I get people down here. I teach them about PR. And basically, it's a brilliant bit of coverage. But that article isn't actually about my business. It's about working in a shed at the bottom of your garden. And I was recently, I've got a piece on the Huffington Post website at the moment, which is the same thing. I was talking about why I don't like holidays and why people are always telling me to take a holiday. But actually, I love my job, and every day feels like a holiday to me. It probably sounds a bit smug, I know. But there's pictures of me on that in my shed and talking about how I work in the shed at the bottom of my garden. Well, you know, again, I'm not talking about my business, but it's great coverage of my business. I've had loads of people get in touch and say, I really love that. And that's what I say to people. It's like, look around the edges of your life and see the areas of your life, like your money, like your family, your relationships, your work, that intersect with your business. That is where the gold is. So I'll give you another example, if you don't mind. I've got a piece that I had on The Guardian's website a few months ago, which is called Show Me the Money, Why Women Need to Stop Working for Free. It has done so well, particularly in terms of social shares and Facebook shares, in fact. And the traffic and comments have been amazing. And that was me talking about the fact that when people come to me, they ask me to speak at their events and they might ask me to be a keynote speaker. They come to me and say, would you like to speak at my event? I say, yes, that's lovely. I'm free. Sounds really good. And then I say, what sort of fee do you have in mind? And then they say, oh, well, actually, we were thinking you'd do it for the exposure. And I'm kind of like, well, I've been doing this for 15 years. I don't really need the exposure in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, what I need is money.
So I'm going to be away from home for a few days, or, you know, one case it was Dubai. They wanted me to go to Dubai for 5 days and leave my family.
Absolute madness.
You know, that's just not, you know, and obviously, you know, there are times I do stuff for free, for charity or whatever. However, without going off on too much of a tangent, but this piece, it wasn't about my business specifically. It was about, you know, something that kind of happens around my business. But it's really shared my kind of vision, my values, what I stand for. Oh my God, the engagement that I've had from that piece. And again, at this event I mentioned to you last month, there was a lady sitting there and she said, I read your story in The Guardian about working for free. I just thought, I like the sound of you. I like what you stand for. Went and had to look at your website, saw that you had some useful stuff to help me. And again, that's PR in action. I could see it working in front of my eyes.
So let me interrupt you there and cut in here. Just, and I'm not going to say sorry. because I'm curious to know then how you think, because obviously very traditional background, you keep talking about The Guardian, but obviously, these are things that are happening now online for you as well. Where do you think, or maybe it doesn't, but I mean, where do you think the line is being drawn now when it comes to quote unquote traditional media such as newspapers, which they're not really that much any more less traditional than, say, the Huffington Post, which has never had a printed press, right? Yeah. So, I mean, like, where does traditional media, do you think, stand in the whole kind of online game? And a follow-up to that being, you know, do you see things potentially changing because of, you know, the rate at which things happen online when it comes to PR?
Well, I think there is value for small business owners and entrepreneurs in getting coverage in like sort of print publications.
Sure.
But I think that the brilliant thing about, I would concentrate your efforts on online because it's there to stay, isn't it? People are going to come back and find my those articles that I've mentioned, you know, in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, it's still going to be sending traffic back. But in the nicest possible way, some of the other stuff is chip paper. It's nice, you know, you can scan it and, well, actually you can't scan it without getting permission and put it on your website, and you can tell people about it that you've been in Red magazine or you've been in Vogue, whatever, but you that's not going to keep sending traffic back to your website. So I think that was your question, was really about is that what you're getting at, is it worth doing it? I'd say for business owners and entrepreneurs, I'd say the more online stuff you can do, you know, like things like the Huffington Post, it's actually, if you can get one idea past the editors at the Huffington Post, then they sign you up as a blogger and then you can write for them regularly. That sort of stuff's really worth doing, because if you can get a piece on the on the Huffington Post every week or every month, that's gonna have a return on investment for you for months and years to come, isn't it?
Sure.
Whereas the print stuff, you know, and radio and TV, it's the same as well. I mean, it's great to be able to say that you've been on a national radio program, or you've been on telly, but again, probably unless it, if somebody puts it up on YouTube, it's not going to be there. People are probably not going to stumble across it in the same way as they would.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, just like there's like, yeah, I mean, just like there's like, you know, guilt by association, there's always praise by association as well, right? Even if, I mean, for example, if BBC One does a feature on my business and they put me on, you know, whatever it is, Panorama or whatever, one of the shows. Is Panorama still going in the UK? It must be.
I'm just laughing at the fact you called it BBC One. I don't even know if it's called BBC One anymore.
Is it just called One now? I don't know what it is, but I mean, they change things all the time. I'm so out of touch.
I think we're about the same age, aren't we? So we're probably sort of, you know, BBC One's very kind of like 70s and 80s, isn't it?
It is. But I love that stuff, man. I love it. But I mean, like, you know, let's say they do a piece on me. I'm on the show on a Thursday afternoon. And nowadays, you know, yes, they could quite easily put the show up on iPlayer, or they could put it up on, you know, which is like the Netflix version for the UK for all of our American friends listening in. Or maybe they stick it up on their YouTube channel, maybe the Facebook group or whatever the case may be. But I mean, even those are eventually going to get old and kind of dreary, and people are going to stop watching and sharing. But you can always say, I can always turn around and say, hey, I've been featured on the BBC. The BBC did a feature with me. I mean, that in itself surely is great for social proof, if nothing else.
Exactly, yeah. And just being able to say, I mean, one of those things I think for small business owners and entrepreneurs is just being able to put those things on your website, you know, as seen in. And if you can say you've been on the BBC, you've been on Sky, or you've been on Today Show, or whatever it might be, then it's just great credibility, isn't it? Because you know, people can see when they arrive on your website, they can see that somebody obviously thinks what you've got to say is worth putting you on national TV or radio. So I think it's well worth doing those things. And I've been on national TV and radio, BBC, been on ITV, and I always mention it in my biogs that I've done that sort of thing as well. I do lots of radio. I'm a regular radio reviewer for my regional radio show. And yeah, I think it just gives you that credibility, doesn't it? But it isn't going to kind of work for you in the same way as having online content that's going to keep sending people.
It's going to keep coming back. Exactly.
So kind of doing a different job for you. So I think that's the thing with your PR as well. You need to almost be firing on different cylinders, if you know what I mean. So you've got stuff that's really driving traffic back to your website, and stuff that's going to keep on giving. Like some of my stuff that I've, you know, the stuff I've written about how to get press coverage and press releases for The Guardian, that just keeps on giving, and it just keeps sending people back to my website. Whereas the other stuff is more about sort of, you know, my credibility and be able to tell people, you know, I know what I'm talking about because the producers of these shows felt that I was credible enough to put me on the telly or put me on the radio or whatever.
I mean, this has been a really interesting conversation because I thought going into it that we were going to focus more on the traditional side of things. But it seems that, you know, the traditional mindset that we have when it comes to PR and getting press and things like that has changed quite a bit with obviously the online world being as fast moving and as ever changing as it is. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And there's nothing wrong with the fact that this conversation took that little bit of a spin. But if anything, it just kind of almost reinforces everything that we talk about here on the show in regards to building a personal brand and getting known for what you want to help people with and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, as we wrap up, let's say we've had some press. Let's say we've had a little bit of press and we've got some links and we've got a Huffington Post mention and maybe a Guardian mention. There's a link there and this sort of thing. How do we then maybe take what we've already got and put it to the next level in regards to getting bigger and better press for ourselves? Any tips on that?
So do you mean sort of when you then go and pitch to other publications, for example?
Well, I'm thinking even maybe bigger publications. So you've had some local stuff, some national stuff. Now you want to go international. Now you want, now you want Forbes to do a piece on you or Entrepreneur Magazine to do a piece on you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's all going to give you traction. So if you go and pitch to an editor, the first thing I do when someone pitches to me, and particularly if they want to write for me, they're going to be writing it themselves. The first thing I do is obviously go and Google them, see if they've, where they've been featured before, see if they can string a sentence together, see if they've got the kind of, you know, credibility and the traction. So yeah, so everything that you can do, that will be the first thing that an editor will do if you send in a pitch to them. they would immediately go and kind of stalk you basically on social media. I think it's kind of like, I think if you've got a great idea, sometimes people think it's almost like a sort of stepping stone, and you do your locals first, and then there's no reason, if you've got a great idea that's really perfect for Forbes, there's no reason why you can't do that today, why people who are listening now couldn't go off and pitch a series of I think it was Lewis Howes has got a series on Forbes or Entrepreneur, and I was looking at the content there, I was thinking, well, obviously Lewis Howes, he's obviously great, you know, great audience, and he's got a great kind of reputation and background, but actually those articles that he's got up there, anybody who's got that kind of expertise could have pitched those articles.
You shouldn't ever feel
that you're almost like not worthy of doing it, because if you've got a great idea and you have obviously got the expertise and the background, then journalists will take you seriously. And if you can put together a nice email pitch as well. I don't know if I've got time to quickly give people a few pointers about an email pitch. Have I got time to?
You have. To do it now. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so here are my top tips for email pitching, because this is what it's all about. Journalists get hundreds and hundreds of emails every day and press releases. So if your subject header is rubbish, then it's just going to get binned. So what you need to do is label it up so it says story idea or pitch in the subject header of your email.
Love it. Okay.
Then what you need to do is to, we call it the top line in journalism, the 10-word top line, is to summarize your story. But don't try and be clever. So don't use puns. So if your story is about your new cereal cafe or something, don't say like crunch time for business owners or that kind of thing.
Okay.
Or if it's about a surf shop, don't put things like, you know, riding the wave, because a journalist is not going to have a bloody clue what you're talking about. So you just say, if your story is about, I don't know, whatever it might be, your 80-year-old that started taking up marathons, I don't know where that came from. That's what you need to say. So in the UK, we would say Ron Seal, we would say, which is totally plain and simple. Don't try and dress it up. Be clever. Use big language. Then you say in your email, you say, hi, first name, because a lot of people say to me, should I say Mr. Ducker? And I say, no, you first name. And then you go straight into your pitch. So I was wondering if you'd be interested in, and then use the same line that you use in your subject header, which we call the top line. If there's some reason why it's integral that you give a quick introduction, you say a quick introduction, this is who I am. If it's integral to the story, then quickly do that before you do your kind of top line. But don't do a kind of two paragraph history of your life kind of thing. Because journalists, they get so many emails, they'll literally have a very cursory glance and decide whether they're interested or not and move on. And I'm sure, Chris, it's probably the same when people pitch for your podcast. You probably, you know, have a quick look at the subject header, the first line, and then it doesn't interest.
Always. And I mean, you know, generally speaking, and I mean, pretty much everybody knows this anyway, because I'm quite vocal about it. There's no way you're coming on this show if I've never met you before. It's just, I'm a big believer of my P2P philosophy. And I believe that, you know, relationships should be, they should be grown and fostered, and they should be treasured, and they should not be used. And, you know, for me, bringing somebody on the show that I've never spoken to before or hung out with before in some way, shape, or form, you know, the chances of it happening are pretty slim. In fact, they're next to nothing, quite frankly. So, you know, it is what it is. And in fact, actually, you had contacted me in regards to coming on the show prior to us meeting in person, and we'd already known each other for a little bit. But I said to you, you know what, let's talk about it when we're with each other in person in the UK, because I'll get a better feel as to you as a person and what you're all about. And since I met, we got on like a house on fire. It's a no-brainer that I bring you on to share your experience and your wisdom. But you're right, I get probably 5 emails a week, at least, if not more, that my VA handles. I don't even read them anymore. And she, you know, she'll from time to time forward the odd one or two on to me if she thinks it might be slipping through a crack or whatever. But yeah, ultimately they get ignored. I don't even bother replying to them. They're too busy for it.
If you don't mind me interrupting,
go ahead.
That if it's really obvious that the person hasn't listened to your show and hasn't taken the time to understand what you're about, then I bet you bin them straight away. Because that's the same thing. As a journalist, you get pitches from people who clearly haven't read the publication or clearly haven't listened to the program. And it's almost like going for a job interview without doing your prep. You know, it's like turning up for a job interview without finding out about the company. And I would put money on the fact you bin it if they don't listen to your show, and it's quite
always
clear.
Always. Absolutely. Okay, so go back to your email tips. I love it.
Yes, that's my So subject header, story idea, plus, you know, really simple, straightforward, you know, says what it is, title, first line, hi, first name. Then in the first line of your email pitch, you should just say, I was wondering if you'd be interested in a story on X or Y, get straight to the point. Then no more than a couple of paragraphs explaining your idea. I like to say, if you're going to break it down, it's like the first paragraph, or this will be your second paragraph actually, would be sort of like kind of explaining what's led to the background, what's led to this kind of story idea. And the next one, you might talk about what's coming next. So if you're pitching a story about a new product or initiative or that kind of thing. Product stories are quite hard to place actually, but that's a whole other show. So you can probably find out if you come to my website, there'll be loads of stuff on that. And then just sort of sign off by saying something like, look forward to hearing from you. And it's as simple as that. And I think keep it really short, no longer than a couple of paragraphs. Then if you want to do a sort of little summary of who you are, maybe do that at the end of your email, unless it's really integral to your story. But anything that stops the journalist, they basically will just, you've probably got 5 seconds to get in front of them. And the big thing is the email subject header. I still get hundreds of press releases and pitches from people. And I'd be amazed that people send me pitches with like colon in the headline. I mean, who's going to read that? Or press release or story idea, but no indication of what it is. And I think you've got to just appreciate how many of these emails, literally hundreds they get a week. It's a standout. That's just a little tip to make sure. And I think if you label it up clearly, story idea or pitch or whatever, you've got a much higher chance of getting opened.
I love it. Yeah. Sometimes, like I said, we just overthink things, don't we? And it's best to just keep things really simple and to the point. A lot of time, particularly when you're reaching out and trying to contact people who are very, very busy to begin with anyway, like they didn't wake up that morning, wishing that you sent them your email pitch,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And I think it's appreciating as well that while you might be an expert on your business and what you do and you know all about it, that person, when they get that email, it's probably the first time they've ever heard of you or what you do. And they're kind of not assuming, in journalism, we often talk about who we write for, and we say we write for like an intelligent 11-year-old. And I think just not assuming any sort of prior knowledge and not assuming they know who you are or what you do, just appreciating that they're a busy person. And like you say, they weren't expecting to get your email. They don't know what they're going to get when they open it. So just making it as easy for them as possible, and just sort of, solving a problem and being that kind of helpful problem solving type person, that will get you a long way.
I love it. Excellent. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed the chat. I think that this will open up a lot of eyes for people who have maybe not really been focusing in on this. Sometimes we, and for you guys tuning in, I'll have links to everything that Janet's been talking about over the show notes. So I'll give you that URL in a minute. But I just want to sort of end up here and say, a lot of the time we get so transfixed in our own little bubbles and creating content for our own blogs and our websites and our podcasts and video channels and all the rest of it that we don't really appreciate and understand exactly what could happen on a pretty regular basis if you were to just get that one piece of content placed elsewhere, or that one little bit of feature on you or your story on one particular website or in one particular newspaper. A lot of things can happen, and Janet's just, gone through that and proved it in a very unique, experienced manner. So thank you, Janet, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was all our pleasure, sincerely. For you guys tuning in, if you want to find out a little bit more about Janet and kind of immerse yourself a little bit in the world of PR in general a little bit more, I want you to head over to the show note page, chrisducker.com/episode141, for links to Janet's site and everything else that we've discussed in the show. I will be back at you again next week for another fantastic session here on Youpreneur FM. In the meantime, if you have not already done so, I'd love you to head over to youpreneur.com and check out what we've got going on over there when it comes to running and growing a mastermind community where no entrepreneur gets left behind. I look forward to seeing you over there. Until then, take good care. Be kind to each other, everybody. And I'll be back at you again real soon.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.
Hey, before you move forward with your day, just a quick reminder one more time about the Long Haul Leader Summit taking place November 16 and 17 this year, 2024, in Cambridge, England. This is your chance, along with 100 other entrepreneurs from all over the world, to boost your income, elevate your impact, and build a legacy. This is the live event for entrepreneurs that you need to be at this year, my friend. because not only are we going to teach you lots of great strategies and processes and systems and all that good stuff in terms of scaling your business, but most importantly, you're going to learn from the best in the game when it comes to making the moves that you need to make in order to be able to go the distance in business and in life. I really hope to see you there. Grab your ticket right now before they're all gone. Longhaulleader.com. Bye for now.